It really is. Like Sister Nancy said, we couldn't even get up in the morning. We couldn't even get up in the morning. We couldn't even speak. We couldn't hear. We couldn't even be able to walk. And, you know, we couldn't be able to even stumble for it. It wasn't for him. So I just thank the Lord that he has been there. He is always there. He's never left me. He never will for leave me. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. But here this morning, if you will, turn to your Bible in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. All righty. Let's start reading with verse 30, chapter 8, in the book of John. John chapter 8, then let's start reading with verse 30. I tell you what, I'm going to start with 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always, those things which please him. Now, we can take that last, the little last phrase of that verse, the last few words there, it says right here, for I do always those things that please the Lord. We know right here that is not speaking to us. That is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying that I'm going to always do what the Father says do. I'm not going to do it haphazard. I'm going to do it the way he wants it done. But in verse 30 it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. They believed. Why? Because of that, the last little phrase right there. For I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be in Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye are free indeed. Verse 37 says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then say they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have our father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. How true that is, that last verse. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. That right there, one little phrase right there. And then the other little phrase up here in the latter part of verse 29. For I do always those things that please the Father. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us this morning that he's going to do everything to please the Father. And that the Father he is speaking about is God Almighty. He's speaking about him. He's speaking about Yahweh. He's speaking about the provider. He is speaking about the one that allowed him to leave heaven, because it was up to the Father. It was up to his truth that he will allow his son to leave heaven. Jesus Christ, I don't believe he wanted to leave the Father's side. But the Father told him, said, son, says, I have a job especially for you. Especially for you. I cannot do it. No one else can do it. The angels in heaven, they can't even do it. Even my ultimate, the help that I have with all the angels here, they can't even do this one particular job that I want you to do. You have to do this job, and you have to do it with my truth. He says, back over here in verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my words? That's the reason we will not speak about him. That's the reason we will not speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we will not go out here and witness for the Lord. What and why is that? It's because ye cannot hear my words. And yes, we have many people today that does not hear from God anymore. You know why they don't? Because they done got away from the truth in the Word of God. And they done got away from the King James Bible. I know that you can take all these other translations I hear, and you can go in there and you can pick out some verses in there, and you can give them out to people. And yes, it may be just enough for them for that day. But it's not going to be enough for them for tomorrow, because they know not who's going to hold tomorrow. But we do. I know who's going to hold tomorrow. I know where my life is at tomorrow. And where is it at? It's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not nowhere else. It's not in my wife's hands. It's not in my daughter's hands. It's not in my former pastor's hand. It's not in the hands of anybody else. It's in the hands of the Lord. And I know that, and I realize that. And I'm so thankful that I'm in His hand, because as long as I'm in His hands, nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch me. Yes, the devil, he tries. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, I don't know if I've ever said this to y'all today, Henry, but since I've been here or not. But I know one time that I used to say, and I said it to, I brought it out and spoke it to someone this week that I was speaking to. You know, at one time I used to say it a lot. But I had somebody tell me, says, you shouldn't say that no more. You shouldn't say that, say it like that. I said, well, the reason I say it that way, and the reason I do say it, is because I know that it's the truth. And I always say this. I used to say this all the time. I says, some people say, you know, I just wish the devil would leave me alone. I wish he'd just get off my back and just leave me alone. I don't want that. I don't want the devil to leave me alone. I'm so glad that he is attacking me. I'm so glad that he is on my back. I'm so glad that he's messing with my mind. And I'm so glad that he's messing with my heart. Why? Because then I know that I'm doing something right. Because if I'm not doing anything right, he's not going to attack me. Why? Because I'll already be doing it for him. You think he's out here attacking the people that's out of church this morning? No, the devil's not. He's got them exactly where he wants them. He's got some Christians that's been saved and been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got a hold of them one time in church. And they believed him because he pointed out in a different way than what the Lord pointed it out to them. It sounded good. You know, even the devil himself will tell you, keep on going. You're doing the right thing. Just keep on going. Yes. I'll be with you when you go over there and witness to them people. I'll speak to you. I'll give you the very words. That is the devil. He will do that. Why will he do that? He will do that because he is a deceiver. He is a liar. And he is the father of all lies. He don't even know how to tell the truth. But yet, we understand him to be the truth. A whole lot of people is understanding with their own heart and own life that Jesus, that the devil is the truth. Why? Because he speaks so eloquent to them. He speaks so kind to them. Hey, I can go right out here right now. I can leave this right at 12 o'clock. And I can go to someone's house or go
maybe the mall, somewhere like that, maybe see that individual that I'm thinking about. The last time I spoke to them, the last time I listened to them, they didn't believe a thing I said. They said that there is no God. And says that I don't mind the world that you go around here keep pushing your religion on me. I'm not pushing no religion. I may be trying to push Christ on you, but no religion. But I could go to them and I could visit them. And knowing what I'm going to hear. And I can hear the same thing. And then they can come back. And they can confirm it by talking sweet to me for the last 10 or 15 minutes. Be talking nice to me. Say, hey, Brother Donna, why don't you come up here one evening and I'll take you down to where my shop is. And I'll look, and I'll let you look at all that lumber that I have. I'm thinking of an individual right now that done that. I witnessed to him at work. I talked to him. He just didn't want to listen. One day there, he's got my attention. He got my attention. Even though he didn't want to trust anything that I said, but he got my attention. You know how he got my attention? He told me, he says, I have some lumber out at the house that my father-in-law had cut down. It's been seasoned, it's dried, it's been cured and everything. It's just there. I don't have no use for it. And I need for it to get out of the shop so I can go in and put some other stuff in it where I can make some money on. And he was a mechanic. He said, but I want you to come out there and you look at that wood first before you say you'll take it. Because I don't want nobody just to come and take that wood if they ain't going to use it. I went out there and I looked at it. And it was poplar wood. It was nice looking wood. It wasn't planed on both sides. It had been sawed. But it had been stacked. And it had been stacked for over 10 years. In the man's garage. And I looked at it. I said, yeah, I'd love to have some of that, brother. I said, as a matter of fact, I can use some of it right now. I said, how much you want for it? He said, if you'll take it all, I'll just give it to you. He said, because I don't want none of it. He said, I need to get rid of it. I said, now, are you serious? He said, yeah, I'm serious. I said, all right. I said, okay. I'll be up here Saturday. And I'll get some Saturday. And I'll start moving it out Saturday. Saturday, I went up out. Saturday, I hauled three loads of lumber from that shop and that pickup that I had. It was all the way to the top of the bed. All the wood I could get on it. Three loads that way. Did not even get it all then. Then I went back Monday night after I got off work. Went back up there. I got two more loads. And I come back at the house and everything, and I'm unloading everything, and here Shelby comes out. She says, what in the world are you going to do with all that lumber? I said, well, one thing, I'm going to use it.
She said, you offer what? I said, to build stuff with it. I said, do you realize that if I had to go and buy that much lumber from down at a Danville Lumber Company, it would probably cost me in between $3,000 to $4,000. And the last time I looked, I didn't have an extra $3,000 or $4,000. And this lumber was given to me, and I wasn't going to take it. And I built some things from it. I built some rails with that wood. They're still standing today. Still looks just as good as it was the day that I finished it. After I'd stained it and after I'd done everything to it. It's still up. The people are still using it. And it's at St. Luke's Methodist Church. When coming up from the floor to the choir, where the elderly people could be able to walk up a ramp. They didn't have a ramp. They had 3 or 4 steps there. I built them a ramp, plus I built them rails to match all the other interior stuff that they had. Because you know how the Methodists are. They got them long rows of, they got the little kneeling altars there and where they go and you take communion right there and everything. And they want it made just like that. Identical to that. I said, no problem. I used the poplar wood and I stained it just like what they had. See what they had. They had the wood, the cherry. And it was stained. It was beautiful. It really was. I said to myself, what have I got myself into? I said, I know they ain't going to want to pay no $6 a square foot for the cherry. So I took me some lumber there, and I put it up. I glued it together, and I sanded it. Then I went and I took some stain that I had, and I mixed it up and mixed it up together. And I had to try it 2 or 3 times. But then the last time I tried, it looked so close. I said, well, I'm going to go on and sand that a little bit more. Put a little more stain on it. Then I put some clear on it. And put another little coat of clear on it. To the point that you could not even tell the difference. Because, see, the grain was basically almost the same, the popular and the cherry, in where I had got it from. So I took it over there, and I was supposed to go back over there. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but, you know, that's what the Lord wants, so that's what I'm doing. But I took it back over there. And when I took it back over there, that was the day that I was going to have to give them a price on building the rails custom made and the ramps and installed it and everything. I didn't give them no price. And I took me a little short piece of wood that where I had carved out close to what they had there. And I took it to them. And I asked the pastor of the church at that time, I said, what do you think? I says, this is the closest that I can get to it. He says, if you want to get it any closer, it's going to be off. He says, that's good. If you can
fixed both rails. One on that side and one on that side. If you can do that and match it up just like you did this right here, you got the job. I said, "Well, man, I ain't give you a price." He said, "Don't make no difference." I said, "No, I'm going to give you a price." And I told him, I said, "Well, I'm going to give you a price of it." I said, "But I will tell you, it's not cherry. It's not cherry wood. Because I cannot see the church wasting the money on that wood. When they can get the same identical thing. Same identical color. And save a couple thousand dollars." You know, and with that in mind, we will do all we can to try to get people in church. We'll try everything that we can to hear something from our lips that would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. They could tell in our heart that we trust Him. We trust Him with our lives. But confirming all of that, we leave out the most important thing. How close? How close are we to God? How close am I to God? How close am I to the Lord Jesus Christ? How close am I to the Holy Spirit? Can I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart? And then when I read the Word of God, can I hear the voice of God through the Word of God? We need to make that. We need to confirm ourselves. We need to be confirmed about our salvation. I'm so confirmed on my salvation that I don't have to worry about it. And I don't have to worry about even getting away from God. Why? Because I know who saved my soul. I know who keeps me each and every day. I know who walks with me. I know who gives me the breath that I breathe. I breathe it. I know who gives me the strength to walk by. And I know the one that gives me the eyesight to see the people and see the His beauty out here. I know Him. Why? Because of salvation. That's the only reason I know Him. It's because of salvation. And what did that salvation? How did I receive that salvation? I must trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that He had done. I needed to trust Him when He was up on a mountaintop and the devil was right there and says, "Jesus, look around." On the highest mountain that there was, and he could look out and he could see all around 360 degrees with nothing blocking his view. And he could see everything. He could see the whole world. I think maybe that's where they got the song from. They would hear the little children sing a whole lot of times. He has the whole world, where? In His hands. When He was there on the mountaintop, and when Lucifer, when the devil, when Satan himself, the liar, and the father of all lies, was telling the Son of God, says, "You can have all of this. You can have all of this if you follow me. If you give up that what you call the bread of life and what you speak about, the fountain, the water that you drink, you will never thirst again. If you give all of that up and say, yes, I want all of that, you can have it right now. It don't tell you exactly what the Lord Jesus said, but I can imagine what he'd say. Because I remember what he said there when he went into the synagogue, where he went there, and they was in that casting lots. They was in that gambling over the individual's clothes, over the coats that they had, and they was getting quiet because winter was probably about coming, because they needed some warm garments, and they was casting lots for the garments from the people that they had gotten stolen from, probably. The Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't calm when he went in there. When he found out, when he, just as soon as he walked through the doors, he seen. He didn't actually see. He actually knew about it. He knew exactly what they were going to do. He knew exactly what they was doing before he even went inside. Why? Because he was God. He was the man God in the flesh. He knew what was going on. What did he do? Y'all know this is wrong. He went over and he stooped down. And he picked the table up, picked it up, and turned the table over. You think he done that? He went and flipped them tables upside down. He went and grabbed probably the edge of them and just flipped them over. Flipped them upside down. He was so angry. Yes, he gets angry. And speaking about that now, being angry. What are we supposed to do? What does the Bible say? Be angry and sin not. It don't tell us not to be angry. It tells us not to sin on the anger. Amen. Amen. Bye-bye. Bye. But in the word anger, we should have the anger in our heart. We should have the anger in our mind about the sin that is rampantly. You know, thank you, Lord. You know what? You know, the reason I believe that we don't have no more, that we don't have no visitors to come in and no people, because they know that we're not going to tolerate sin in God's house. We're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to allow people to come into this sanctuary here that God has built. God has allowed us the privilege to be a part of. And then allow somebody else to come in and try to destroy it. Because that's what the devil's in business for. The devil's in business what destroy me and you. And see, if he destroys me, and if he destroys you, what has he done? Destroyed the church. And I'm not speaking of this building. I'm speaking about the individual. We are the church. I'm the church. You're the church. You're the church. And I'm the church. But what kind of church are we? Are we a kind of church that the devil wants? Or are we the church that God wants? There's so many people out here that blames the devil on a whole lot of things the devil hasn't even come up around and haven't even stuck his head out of the hole yet. They done got so used to sin, I hear. The devil don't have to end up being with them all the time. The devil don't have to be on their back and get them away from God and get them away from church. Why? Because, see, the devil already has them. And I'll give you some scripture that if you take that scripture, and that's in Hebrews, and I believe it's chapter 9. Here, it speaks about, sin. It speaks about the type of sin. Let's see if I can find it. I can't exactly find it, but I'll tell you what. What it's speaking about. If you really want to find out if somebody is serving the Lord or serving the devil, it's in the book of Hebrews, the word chastisement. What does that word mean, chastisement? It means correction. It means the Lord wants to correct you. It means the Lord wants to get your attention. How did our parents, when we was growing up, how did our parents get a hold of our attention? I believe we spoke about it either this past Wednesday night or last Sunday. I forgot which. But the word is the switch that come off of the trees. Who grew? Satan? No, Satan didn't grow that tree. Did I grow that tree? No, I didn't grow that tree. God grew that tree. And God allowed for each and every tree, for each and every bush, to have the correction rod on it. The young adults today, the teenagers are 17, 18 years old. They don't even know what that is. They don't even know what a switch is. If I sell them, I say, well, I'm going to go give me a switch. You know what they're going to think? Well, if you go to Lowe's, how about going to get you pick up me this down there? They thinking about a switch on the wall there. That's what they thinking about. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's a light switch. I ain't talking about just a switch. I'm talking about the correction switch. I'm talking about the one that corrects us, that gets us back in line. You know, it's good and I'll be honest with you, after I got saved
The only thing that I was asking the Lord for, to allow me to continue to be in His church, continue to be a part of the worship services. I never thought in my life, I've never thought it any time in my life before I got saved or since I got saved, I never thought that I could ever be used for the Lord. Matter of fact, I really wanted to teach Sunday school, but that didn't come about either for a while. I was just willing that just to be that church and to teach Sunday school or to do the little part what I could do, either mow the grass or do something. If a pastor was to come to me and ask me, says Donnie, says, I believe you need something to do. And he says, this is what I want you to do if you don't mind doing it. He says, after every service, will you go and check all the trash cans, especially the ones in the restrooms, and make sure that they're not overflowing? If he'd have come and asked me to do that, that would have thrilled my soul. Why? Because he would always tell me, he says, Donnie, he says, the reason I'm asking you this is because the Lord spoke to me and said that He wants you to do it. For when we realize that it comes from God, from the throne room of God, passed down and passed to the side to His Son there in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, taking my plea and taking my case to the Father. I could realize something then. Then that's when I stumbled over there in the book of Luke. I believe it's in chapter 22, and verse 30, 31, 32, somewhere like that, where Jesus was speaking to Simon Peter. And when Simon Peter, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, what must I do? I know them words are not recorded, but they are recorded in other books of the gospel. What must I do? What must I do as a Christian? What must you do as a Christian? First of all, we need to confirm our salvation. And we need to also to confirm that yes, we've been saved from the penalties of hell. We've been saved out of the bondage of Satan and out of the sin-cursed world. I'm not of this world anymore. I don't belong to this world anymore. My home is not this world anymore.
My home is in heaven.
This world is not mine anymore. I don't want no part of the world. But I am in the world. I am in the world. I am in here, and I'm amongst the people. I'm amongst sinners. I'm amongst people that's in bondage. But I'm not with them. I'm not in bondage no more. Are you in bondage? Do you know anybody today that's in bondage? Do you? Have you ever thought about the reason they may be in bondage? You say, preacher, well, yeah. One thing I can think of, they're not saved. And they're in bondage to the devil. Are you concerned enough for them to make sure that if you can't go, if you don't feel like you can go, and they can listen and hear from you? Have y'all ever thought about calling your pastor? Have you ever thought about calling me and asking me, would I go see him? Have you? I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. If I don't know them, if I've never seen them, I don't want them to die and go to hell. And I know you don't. If that doesn't bother you, if it doesn't bother you to the fact that they're still in bondage, what you need to do, what we all need to do, is just come to the front of the church and just pray for them. And pray that God will give you the unction, that God will give you the fortitude to give you the words to say to him if he wants you to go to him. If you don't think you can, go to him. And if you don't think you can explain salvation to them to where they can understand it, ask the Lord to give you the individual that needs to go there. Hey, it's been a long time since I've seen anybody get saved. Since I have personally seen it with my eyes. I know people's getting saved all around. But you know, I just love to have a little taste of it now and then. The first jubilee we had, had a young lady to come and get saved at night, on Thursday night. 11 years old. She stepped out by faith, came to an old-fashioned altar. And her grandmother was still sitting back down, but then her grandmother got up. Why?
she saw her granddaughter offered out. She saw the tears in her eyes. And she knew that something was working on her. So she come up and she prayed with her and for her. And if I'm not mistaken, that night the altar was completely full. People today are scared of the altar. Did you realize that? They're scared to come forth and to come to the front.
They're scared of the altar. You know what? You know what I believe they're scared of? They're scared to the point that if they talk to God, and if they ask God for something, and if they ask God, Lord, help me. Help me pray for them, Lord. Give me the right words that I can say to them if I happen to run into them. You know the reason altars are neglected today? Because the people are scared that when they come forth, and when they bow their head and they pray to God, they're so scared that God's going to come back and say, I don't want nobody else to go. I want you to go. I want you to go. And when you go, when you get there, don't worry about the words that's going to come out of your mouth. Don't worry about the way it's going to come out. You just take my lead. You just take my lead. You allow me to speak through you. That's the reason that the altar is neglected. Because people don't want to go. They don't want to go out here. They don't want to see nobody saved anymore. I mean, it's either we are in the house of God, whether it's this house where the Christians can gather and where they can communicate among themselves and where they can talk to the Lord, or whether it's another church. It doesn't make no difference. But if we're not willing to do what God has asked us to do. And God asked us to do that a long time ago. He asked me to do that right at 30, almost 37 years will be next month. He says, now,
I want you to go and tell. I couldn't just do it all of a sudden. And I just go out. I just had got saved and I go out because I didn't know what the questions that people was going to ask me. I didn't know if they were going to ask me about, I got to be baptized, right, to get saved, right? If I'd have went just as a new Christian and a new convert, and I didn't know anything else about the Bible at all except what they had shared with me, that I must trust in Jesus and he will save my soul, I would say, yeah, you're right. You got to be baptized. You got to take communion too. You got to be faithful to God's church. But see, the first thing I answered them was wrong. And they probably knew it. They probably knew that what I'd said and what I'd given the answer to, yes, you must be baptized. They probably said to themselves, says, he don't know what he's talking about.
We need to confirm the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We need to confirm that He is the one that teaches. He is the one that helps us day by day.
And we need to sell it in our hearts. And we need to confirm it. Not just to me, and not just to other people here in the church. But we need to confirm it to the people that we come in contact with. That the way that I am today is because of the salvation of Jesus Christ and His shedding His blood. I just want to do what the Lord has asked me to do. I just want to be close to Him. I want to be so close to Him that if I move one way or another, I know that I'm going to kind of knock Him off of balance. But I can't knock Him off of balance. I cannot. He will never lose His balance with me. He will never lose His temper with me. He will never get angry with me. The only time He will get angry with me is when I sin against Him knowingly. Yes, and He's angry. But I tell you what, I've never found it in the Word of God that says, now you're saved, but now you've got to live the life. I know I've got to live the life. I've got to live a Christian life. What is the word Christian mean? It means Christ-like. I'm supposed to live so close to Him that when somebody else looks at me, they can see the halo. Why? Because it represents Jesus Christ. But see, I have this flesh on. And this flesh, it hurts me all the time. It hurts me all the time. So you know, if we're in pain, and I'm going to be the good one in saying that, but when I'm in pain, you know what I need to do? I need to thank the Lord. So, Lord, I thank You for the pain. I thank You for what You've brought on my life. I thank You because You can take and You can use that, because I will pray more. When I'm in pain, when I'm in constant pain, when the doctors told me, he says, and you've got this thing called cirrhosis of the liver, but it's not by alcohol, it's non-alcoholic. Oh yes, I could have went home. I could have went home and got my study and just said, Lord, I don't know why You're doing this. I don't know why You're bringing all this on me now. And You know what I've been praying for. And Lord, and You've allowed me to be able to pastor one of the finest churches that there is in the city of Danville or the county of Pennsylvania or even the state of Virginia. Or even in the United States. Why is this coming? Because Lord, if that's the case, then I'm going to have to make a decision. I'm going to have to make a decision to go back to the church and tell them, say, this is what I got. I'm not going to be able to do what I could do before. So I'm going to have to give up the church. But I'll stay until you get somebody. See, the Lord never speaks to nobody about that. The Lord never speaks to nobody about giving up a church. The Lord never speaks to a pastor or a preacher about moving from this church or that church. I don't care who he is. I can say what I want to, and I can believe what I want to, but the Lord Jesus Christ will never speak to me. Will never speak to me with his voice and say, Donnie, I want you to give up Faith Baptist Church. And I want you to go in North Carolina down now. They need a pastor. You know what I need to do? I need to go back and say, well, God, what if I do that? Well, won't Faith Baptist need a pastor? No, I don't believe God speaks to pastors or preachers that way. I really don't. Because they come and go. They come and go. Why? Because of that what's in the back pocket. They come and go because the billfolds done got flat. Ain't got no money. They ain't got no $1,000 or $2,000 in their pocket. They don't need $2,000. They don't need $1,000. Only thing they need is God on their life. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you, O Lord God, that you would be with us through this day. And Father, as you are, and as you will be, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you will give each one of us the rest that we need this afternoon. And Father, you give me the message that's needed for the service tonight. And Lord, we just want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that was willing to give his life freely and to lay it down to where I could be lifted up. And Father, we thank you for lifting me up out of the mire, sins of this world. Thank you, Father, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.